It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the Coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin. I believe you've been away again, kicking up some dust in the Kalahari.
That's right. And not only myself, but an ex-Soweto rioter is also kicking up a storm at Kalahari Manganese. And it's not only a mine, but it's also a sinter plant and an alloy project. It's about 11 billion. And Daphne Mashili and Kosi of Kalahari Resources, and of course the chairman of Kalahari, she was dodging those bullets of the police in June 16, 1976, but now she's having to dodge her critics, you know, the naysayers of women in mining and the naysayers of beneficiation, and she's determined to prove both the naysayers wrong, particularly with this beneficiation project, because she's saying, look, you can get $5 a ton for manganese ore, and she's going to be producing 3 million tons of it by the middle of next year, or by August. But she said you can then get $7 to $8 for a sinter product, so she's upgrading the ore to a sintered product, and then she's going to take about 700,000 tons of that sintered product down to the industrial development zone at Kucha and then export it as high carbon ferromanganese from the deep water port at Kucha. And she's saying, you know, for that you get like something like $1,300 a ton. So she said that she definitely is pursuing this beneficiation, which the government wants, and she feels there's a strong business case for it. In the meantime, she's surrounding herself with a lot of women, both at corporate level and at operational level. And when I was on site, I found that the mining engineer is a woman as well. And Vukazi Nonso is also a South African karate champion. So I don't think any of the men mess with her. And they going ahead with this project that will yield 2.4 million tons of sintered product from the third quarter of next year, and looking like generating a revenue stream from 2014 of about 12 billion rand to 13 billion rand a year.
That sounds very impressive indeed. Just to change gears a bit, Martin, a retiring Wits professor has warned that South Africa's mining research capacity has been decimated, which is a threat to mine safety. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, that's the comments of Professor Dick Stacey. An emeritus professorship has been bestowed on him for his good work at Wits. But of course, he spent like 25 years of his life in rock engineering, including in the private sector. But he worked at Wits from 2000 to 2008. And he's saying, you know, about 20 years ago, there were 600 to 800 people involved in full-time mining research in South Africa. And his comment, if there are now 40, it's a lot. And he's saying that this presents safety implications, efficiency implications, profit implications, and new starts. And it's not just a South African problem, he's saying. You know, he says if you look at the final year mining class locally, there are about a half a dozen interested in rock engineering, and relatively few numbers coming through. And he's done a study with both his Canadian and Australian colleagues. They find that the situation is going to worsen in the Western world. So he feels that the solution, you know, may lie in China, where there are now 1,000 rock engineering students. So again, China coming to the party in this sector of the economy, commodities, which is really the only game in town at the moment. The good news coming out of Wits is that the Professor Fred Kayward, Wits Mining School head, reports that this world-first mine design laboratory that they put in there, a really smashing state-of-the-art laboratory, has actually uplifted the marks of the students by 30% over last year, which shows you if you give people very good facilities, you know, direct mediation with the lecturers by computer, a one-on-one you can do during the class with your lecturer by computer, and these massive big drop-down screens, we're already seeing the results, 30% higher marks.
Wow. Well, let's end off on a positive note this morning. Tell us about the potentially good news regarding coking coal.
Yes, you know, coking coal is not the energy coal that we burn to turn our lights on, but this is a metallurgical coal, and it's a very valuable coal. And there's a lot of it around Southern Africa, but we have to do the Southern Africa picture. We have to look not only in our Limpopo province, where, you know, the champion of all this is the Coal of Africa Limited CEO, John Wallington. You know, he's been virtually moving mountains to get the Vele project going and the Mikado project going, and get the port and rail facility set up to go through Maputo, but also Mozambique. It's an even bigger story in the Tet province, and people are saying that Zimbabwe can also come into the picture. And if you add these together, just on known exploration now, that could be about 50 million tons of coke and coal. Now, we know that the Australians get rich on this. You know, when you go to Queensland province in Australia and you say to people, how have you got all these water taxis and this fantastic infrastructure and the Gold Coast? They whisper in your ear, coke and coal. You know, this is one of the biggest underpins for Queensland. And that Tentet province in Mozambique, if it is managed properly by the politicians, could become a second Queensland, because people are already seeing it as the Bowen Basin. And that is where Australia produces something like 170 million tons of this coke and coal into the market. And if we get our act right on that 50 million tons of coke and coal, we could be earning the region 100 billion rand a year. So I think it is really a reward worth going for.
And the fundamental, of course, in favour of coking coal is that its presence in the world is not really widespread, is it?
It is scarce, as scarce as hen's teeth. And we know that its price is following the iron ore price, which has been doing quite well over a period. And also we see, like, Daphne Mashele and Cozy and Kalahari is also looking at manganese. That's also another steel feed. So those three could go together and South Africa could build itself a nice position in these steel feed products.
Well, on that positive note, we'll leave it there. Martin Creamer, thank you so much for joining us in studio again this morning. Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the Coalface at the same time next Friday.